I want to extend our regards for all the fathers that are among us today and those that may not be able to be present. We look forward to this day every year to honor the fathers. Also, I feel like that pastor who came to church on a bright spring day, and it was so lovely outside that they opened the windows of the church. And just as he was getting up to preach, a breath of wind came through the church, whipped his notes out the window. He stood before his congregation and said a moment ago, "Only I and the Lord know what I was going to say. Now only the Lord knows." Today I pushed the wrong button on my computer and my notes went out the window with that. But the Lord knows and knew beforehand, so here I am. We're turning today to the 2 Kings chapter 5 and continuing our series in the life of Elisha, and especially now focusing upon this man Naaman. We begin with verse 9, and then Naaman went with his horses there and chariot and stood at the door of Elisha's house. Now, this man Naaman, as we mentioned last week, was a great man. He was a general in the army of the Syrians, and he had all the fame and all the honor that was due his position in that regard. And we find him now standing not at the king's door in Samaria, who would be a Jewish king, of course, but rather he's standing now at the door of Elisha's house. You can see him standing there in all of his regalia with his medals of honor and for past battles and his various accolades that were given to him. And he's standing there with his greatness and with all of his entourage around him, standing at the door of Elisha's house. Elisha is the humble prophet of the northern kingdom of Israel, God's man of this hour. And he has a word for Naaman, but Naaman is left standing for the moment, at least, at the door. Instead of coming to the door, as was expected, Elisha's in verse 10, sent his messenger to him saying, "Go wash your flesh and in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh will be restored to you, and you shall be clean." What a message. Elisha, the great prophet, was expected to do great things. The king had sent him, that is Naaman, to him to receive this blessing and this cleansing, this healing. As we mentioned last week, leprosy was the most loathsome disease that a person of that time could have. It was slow death, for sure. It was an awful way to live and to die. Even today, there are around the world lepers in various countries of the world. Even in our country, we have leprosy colonies in Louisiana, and I don't know where else, but I think there are several in our country, leprosy colonies, where people are treated for this loathsome disease. And so he sent a messenger, Elisha sent a messenger saying, "Go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh will be restored to you, and you shall be clean." One might wonder why Elisha chose this way of greeting this esteemed man from Syria, but it shows that he wanted him to humble himself and to do what God had in mind for him, that is to wash in the Jordan 7 times. And verse 11 tells us the response that Naaman gave to that report of washing his flesh in the Jordan River. He became furious. There's a sign of the human nature, isn't it? That's what the human nature is like. It's angry. It's bitter. It wants its own way. It is easily provoked and easily caused to turn to fury and to anger. So he was furious and rode away. I picture him getting in his chariot, a beautiful chariot, and riding furiously away. And behind him are his servants, that is, his lieutenants that are chasing him down. He's furious. And he said, I indeed said to myself, I think he muttered it under his breath. This is what he said. He, that is Elisha, will surely come out and to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and wave his hand over the place and heal the leprosy. He had it in his mind, Naaman did, that there would be some sort of a ceremony, some sort of ritual that would be pronounced, and that this would be all that would be necessary and his leprosy would go away. I think evidently this is how he was treated in Syria. I think those who claimed to be prophets of a God, not the God, perhaps did the same thing. They had some sort of ceremony, some sort of little ritual that could be pronounced. A hand would be waved over them, maybe some other elements of that ceremony, but some sort of ceremony would be pronounced, and he would be healed of his leprosy. But alas, Elisha does not come to the door, nor is there any ceremony here to relieve him of his leprosy. Today, people depend upon ceremonies of one sort or another, religious ceremonies of one sort or another, to relieve them of various things, give them some sort of healing, perhaps, or some other need that they have in their life. And so Naaman had his own expectations of what Elisha would do. And he is certainly disappointed when that doesn't come about, when certain words aren't said and certain ointments perhaps applied or words and ceremony gone through that would relieve him of his leprosy. He responds by saying, are not the Abana and the Pharpar rivers of Damascus better than all the waters of Israel? The answer to his question is yes, they were. Those two rivers that are referred to here in that are in Syria even to this day came down out of the mountains and produced clear water, crystal clear water, and certainly were attractive if one needed them for this purpose. While the river of Jordan River was murky at all times. And so the waters of the Jordan were better, but they didn't have the power of God upon them. The river of Jordan had God's blessing pronounced upon it for this purpose and on this occasion. He said, could not I wash in them and be clean? The answer to that question is no. God's power is not there. God's blessing did not reside upon it. He did not intend to use the rivers of Syria to heal this man. And so he would not be healed if he went home and went to those rivers. After all, it's not the rivers that heal at all. And that was to be impressed upon this man. It was not the waters. It was not the ceremonies. It was not the place of his choosing, but rather a place of God's choosing and the river of God's choice. So he turned and went away enraged. That is, Naaman went away angry because he didn't get his own way. All of these are indicative of the natural man and his heart's condition. He's full of rage. He's full of anger. He's full of demand that it be done his way, and that that things be done as he sees fit rather than as God sees fit. And so his servants came near. In other words, they caught up with him somewhere, riding his chariot furiously away. They caught up with him and spoke to him. And this is what they said in verse 13. My father, if the prophet had told you to do some great thing, would you have not done it? How much more then when he says to you, wash and be clean? In other words, what Elisha had asked him to do was not difficult. It wasn't something that would require great strain or great endurance or a long period of time or some other requirement, but rather it was a rather easy thing to do, and something that it was within his limits or within his strength to do. He would have done it had it been a hard thing. I believe today that if God said to a person, climb the highest mountain and you will have all these blessings, that mountain would be covered with people climbing it. Or if he said, swim the English Channel and I'll give you your request, people would be lined up to swim the English Channel, I think so much so that you could walk on the backs of people from England to France without any getting your feet wet. But he said to this man, simply go and wash and be clean. Sometimes salvation is rejected because for some people they think it's too easy or that it doesn't require anything of them or that they can't show any works that they have done to merit it, and so they are offended because salvation is free. It is of grace alone, God's doing alone. And so, like Naaman, they go away disappointed and discouraged because God doesn't ask them to do some hard thing, some difficult thing, some humanly difficult thing. And so they refuse to do so. So the servants reasoned with Naaman that how much more then when he asks you to wash and be clean? Think of it. This is all that is being required of you. Just wash and be clean. And yet he was refusing to do so. So evidently, after some time of reasoning with Naaman, verse 14 takes place. He went down and dipped seven times in the Jordan, according to the sayings of the son of God, a man of God, rather, and his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. I think when it says he went down, it was true that he went down from where he was in Samaria, about 1,000-foot descent to the River Jordan. He went down from his pride and arrogance that he do it his own way, or that he insisted on God meeting his demands. He also went down from his own inclinations and own deceived heart. And he dipped seven times in the Jordan, according to the sayings of the son, man of God, rather. Seven times. Why seven times? Why did Elisha require him to do it seven times? Well, seven is a number of completion. Remember, in creation, there were 7 days that are described in Genesis. It's completed. 7 days. But seven also is a completion of repentance. It shows that this man was repenting and that it was faith that he was placing in what the man of God required of him or said of him. So he dipped himself. 6 times he went down and came up, the same man that went down. It wasn't until he had fulfilled all that was required, all seven times, the seventh time, he came up out of the river clean. Not only were the spots gone, but according to this passage, he was restored, his flesh was restored like that of a little child. He was as clean as though he had never had leprosy at all. Think of the miracle of that. Leprosy is not only sores on the skin, but it is eating away of the flesh so that perhaps his nose and his ears and his fingers and his toes and extremities were now eaten away by the leprosy. I remember seeing a woman in Kenya who was afflicted with leprosy, and she had lost her fingers and lost her nose and her ears. And I think of Naaman in that regard, how difficult it must have been. Yet when he arose the seventh time from the River Jordan, he was as clean as a child. He was as whole as he could be. His healing was not gradual. It wasn't something that he had to work on or take some remedy for. God cleansed him and healed him instantaneously and wholly in all of his body, so that he returned as a man who was fully restored to his health and to his his body was restored. Then in verse 15 it says that he returned to the man of God and all of his aids and came and stood before him. Now what we have here is that Samaria is about 20 miles from the nearest point of the Jordan River. So here is Naaman and his entourage at the Jordan River. He has received healing. He's about halfway back to Damascus at that point. He could have just gone home to Damascus. But instead, when he arises from the river and finds that he is healed, his joy is such that he returns the 20 miles back to Samaria to appear before this time before Elisha. And this is his testimony. And it says that all of his aides came and stood with him. He wanted to share this testimony with those who had observed his healing and saw where it came from, that there was no trickery, that there was no man-made remedies that were applied to him, but that he simply obeyed God and obeyed what was told him, and he came and stood before Elisha. And there he was, a different man, hardly recognizable from what we saw before of this man who had come to stand at the gate of Elisha. And now he is whole. His flesh is sound. And he stood before Elisha. And this was his testimony to Elisha. Indeed, I know that there is no God in all the earth except in Israel. This was the true and living God. Here was a pagan, man who had been a pagan, but a short moments before or a short time before, and now he is giving testimony to the true fact the fact that God is the true God, the eternal God, the God of all the earth. There is none like him at all. That he is the only one true God. He gives testimony to that fact. What a marvelous change, not only in his body over his healing, but now in his testimony and in his outlook on life. He's changed immediately. That's what happens to a person who truly comes to faith in Christ, is they're changed. Paul says in the Corinthian epistle that he's a new creation, a new person, has a whole new outlook on life and a whole new reason to give glory to the true and living God. And that's what Naaman does on this occasion as he stands before Elisha. And now he says, therefore, please take a gift from your servant. There was nothing wrong with him offering a gift, but there was something wrong as far as Elisha was concerned in receiving the gift, because he did not want this man to go back to Syria confused as to why he was healed. It was by grace alone that he was healed, not by grace plus gifts, not by paying someone off, not by giving something of monetary value to Elisha. And Elisha was careful not to make that allow that confusion to take place. He was not to receive any money for it, because God had done this by grace for this man, just as he does in salvation. It is by grace that we are saved through faith, and that not of ourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Truly, the Bible is clear on that subject, especially in the New Testament. We are told this in Ephesians as well as in Titus. We are told that our salvation is of grace and not of works, or not of our doing and not of our deserving, but of God's faithfulness and God's provision for us. So, though offered a gracious gift on the part of Naaman, it was rejected. And in verse 16 he says, but he said, as the Lord lives before whom I stand, this is Elisha, I will receive nothing. And he urged him to take it, but he refused. In other words, this would not be the proper thing for Elisha to do. And so he does not accept the offer of receiving any gifts from this man who has now received his life. He wanted him to return to Syria, and knowing that the God of Israel took nothing from him except his leprosy. And that's what God wants people today to recognize, that God requires nothing of us, but gives us grace salvation, gives us the grace of wholeness, of a true standing before him. My mind goes to Romans chapter 8 and verse 1, where it says there's no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. Just as there's no leprosy in Naaman, so there's no condemnation to those of us who are in Christ Jesus, who received him by grace, and thus we rejoice in him. And thus he went away rejoicing. That is, Naaman went away rejoicing that God had extended to him a great grace and offered him this offering of healing. I'm reminded in John chapter 5 of the man at the pool in Jerusalem, who, when Jesus came to him, there he was, crippled, unable to help himself, and had been there for a long time seeking help and seeking some sort of healing. And Jesus said to him, would you be whole? The man said to him, make me whole. And Jesus said, take up your bed and walk. And so this man here, Naaman, the question was, will you be whole? And one would think that the obvious answer is yes, I would like to be whole. But there are so many today who are lepers spiritually who still don't want to be whole. They refuse to humble themselves. They refuse to call on the name of the Lord. They refuse to admit that they're sinners, helpless and hopeless, like Naaman was on that occasion. They refuse to acknowledge that without God's touch in their lives, there's no hope for them. Leprosy is a slow death. And so they go on their way but only those who say, I will be whole, and seek the Lord, and call upon the Lord, and receive from the Lord His salvation that He's given to them. Only they are the ones who are made whole. Today, if you're a believer in Christ, you're a former leper. You too had leprosy, as I did. But He touched us and made us whole in salvation. If today you're without Christ, then you're still a leper. And all that you do cannot affect the change except that you come to Christ and obey Him in obedience, repent and believe on Christ, and be made whole by His touch, by His hand, and His miracle-working power. Our closing hymn this morning is hymn number 196. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath its flood lose all their guilty stains. Our Heavenly Father, how we thank You for the cleansing blood of Christ that cleanses us from all sin. We thank You today for the openness of salvation that any who come to Him may receive and be made whole. We pray that if there is any among us who do not know You as Savior, that today they would come to You. We ask You to strengthen our lives and make us faithful servants of Yours, ever giving testimony to Your greatness. For we ask it in Christ's name. Amen.